The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Happy Friday, everybody. Today on the show, Super Flex Strategies, Antonio Brown's Dynasty Value, the Patriots won't name an offensive coordinator, and Kyler Murray has a new contract. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today on this Friday morning. I am Adam Azer. I'm joined by Jamie Eisenberg and Heath Cummings. And how happy are you for Kyler Murray? Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good.
Good evening.
I am winning this argument without question.
What do you mean?
11:30 is not morning. 11:30 is afternoon.
There was a Twitter poll and 90% of Twitter voted against you.
And then there was another Twitter poll and they basically agreed with me, maybe without even realizing. I said, what meal are you more likely to eat at 11:30? And it was overwhelmingly lunch instead of breakfast, which means 11:30 is afternoon. And we all know it.
I ate lunch today at 9:30.
You're a freak. I'm not talking
about because you're a senior citizen. Yeah. You went to bed at 6.
You have your reading light.
I wake up at 5:30.
Heath, I just don't want you to be confined to the shackles of semantics in society where anything before noon has to be morning.
There's nothing semantic about it. The word is afternoon.
That's semantics. I mean, okay.
First, you don't know how to say which days of the week it is. Now you don't know how to say what time it is.
I don't know how to say days of the week?
Yeah, your whole next Wednesday, this Wednesday.
Oh, that I'm right about.
Argument that you lost that one too.
Most of your bad opinions are matters of opinion, at least. But this one is right up there with the frog and dog don't rhyme as like maybe there's something actually wrong with you.
Oh, look at this. Patrick, thank you. Fast food establishments used to stop serving breakfast at 10:30. That was always my yardstick.
Somebody tried to use beer as an example, like you can start drinking.
Come on, bring Scott on.
Scott, yes. I'll send you a link. You could come argue this with us. Scott Fish wants to argue with us. This is a mailbag show.
Made my last pick in the Scott Fish Bowl just now.
Oh, I drafted Blankenship as my last pick. Who'd you draft?
Damian Williams.
Adam, we had this talk.
Yeah, I know. it's my last pick.
I really tried to help.
Not drafting a kicker?
There's nothing wrong with flexing a kicker and picking one up and using him. But we had this month or 6 weeks where nobody's going to add any players. Draft a backup running back who might turn into a starter.
Yeah, that was my thought too. It was like there was a few kickers that I was eyeing, but like I'll find one if I need one.
That was the thing. I didn't really think the rest of the kickers were on such bad teams that I'd rather secure Blankenship. I could have drafted Trey Sermon. That was basically who I was deciding between. Anyway, let's get to the show. I'm going to bring on Scott Fish in a little bit. What?
I thought we were doing the show.
We're doing it. Now we're into the actual show. Let's do a rankings dispute. Now that Kyler Murray has signed his contract, are you a little bit more optimistic about him maybe? It's a big deal, by the way. 5 years, $230.5 million, $160 million guaranteed for injury. And I also read on ESPN, he has the highest completion percentage in the first three seasons of a career in NFL history. That's pretty crazy. So Jalen Hurts versus Kyler Murray. As of yesterday, you both had Kyler Murray 7th and you both had Jalen Hurts 4th or 5th. Any thought on moving Kyler Murray ahead of Jalen Hurts, or Heath, are you sticking with your guns, Jalen ahead of Kyler?
I am sticking with my guns, Jalen ahead of Kyler, but I did move Kyler up one spot in Dynasty, and only because I've gone back and forth and back and forth with he and Lamar. And this gives Kyler a little bit more long-term security than Lamar has, and a lot more long-term security than Hurts does. So I would rather have Murray than Lamar or Hurts in Dynasty, but for this year, I'll take Lamar and Hurts over Murray.
The most fascinating stat that I saw yesterday about Kyler Murray is that he was the 9th overall pick in the 2018 MLB draft by the Oakland Athletics. their payroll this year is $48.5 million.
Wow.
Kyler Murray will be paid $46.1 million.
Wow.
That's amazing. He's making the entire payroll.
Yeah, he made a good decision financially.
He really did.
But I think, Jamie, what about you? Are you sticking with Hurts over Kyler?
I am sticking with Hurts over Kyler. I do think that I will revisit many a times in the next few weeks. 4, 5, 6, and 7 in my rankings, which are Hurts 4, Lamar 5, Russell 6, and Hurts 7.
No, Kyler 7.
I'm sorry, Kyler 7. I like Hurts so much, I ranked twice. Mm-hmm. Kyler 7, because of the rushing ability that Kyler will have over Russell Wilson. So that's the one that makes me the most concerned.
That was the biggest news of yesterday, but the biggest news of this morning was Nick Chubb squatting 610 pounds.
My gosh.
With that's, some that's sort Adams. Of bar that like would bend with, it was like a rubbery type bar, and there were high school football players on both ends spotting him. And so I put up a Twitter poll because people were talking last week about Juju's slip and slide TikTok and how those are the types of things he shouldn't be doing in the offseason. What's more dangerous in the offseason, doing a slip and slide TikTok or squatting 610 pounds in a high school gym?
I mean, squatting.
Yeah, squatting.
It's way more dangerous, right? But everybody's just talking about how awesome Nick Chubb is and nobody's worried about him getting hurt.
Do you think if I see you guys, we can do the tortilla challenge or whatever it is?
I do not know what that is.
Kevin Hart and The Rock did it. They slapped each other in the face with tortillas and tried not to spit water out of their mouth or something when they were slapped in the face with tortillas.
See, here's the thing that I don't quite get about that is if you're standing too close to the person, you're slapping them to basically spit water on you.
Like, I didn't see it. With the tortilla?
Yeah, you slap it with a tortilla, yeah.
Yes.
So you could have a high-quality tortilla that won't break.
There's a lot that goes into this. I think it starts with rock, paper, scissors, too, to see who slaps.
Yes.
So, all right, Heath, you can consider it Peter Bread. Do I have to make the case for Kyler Murray here just to have an argument about this?
I mean, he's got the ability to be the number one quarterback in fantasy if he stays healthy.
Right. He has shown that. The optimistic view with Kyler is that before Hopkins got hurt last year, he was number two in 6 point and three per game. And he's better in 4 point, by the way. And then in 2020, before he sprained his AC joint, he was the number one quarterback in fantasy. So he has shown just as much upside as basically anyone. And, you know, Hurts has not. Hurts has
wasn't
only
Hurts the number one quarterback in fantasy before they stopped throwing?
No. He was maybe number three in 4 point, number five in 6 point.
Well, you have to take out the third quarter of the fourth game and then the fifth quarter of the sixth game, and then when you Azerstat the bleep out of it, he could be the number one quarterback.
He was number two in 4 point, number five in 6 point, and on a per game basis, he was number three and number six in the respective formats. That was in the first seven games of the season when they threw 34.6 pass attempts per game, or he threw 34.6 passes per game. And then I just did some math. I gave Kyler 4,500 passing yards and about 550 rushing yards. I gave Hurts 4,000 passing yards and 890 rushing yards. All of this was based on what they've done in the past. That gave Hurts a 14-point advantage in yards. But then if you factor in what they've done in touchdowns, Kyler crushes them, far. You'd have to get a lot more touchdowns, passing touchdowns specifically from Hurts to make up the difference, basically.
Kyler's been really up and down on the touchdowns, right?
Not really. I took out his rookie year, and I took out Hurts' rookie year, too. So he's been basically a 29-ish touchdown guy, passing touchdowns the last 2 years, around per 17 games. Yeah, so
that's a lot. There are so many qualifiers.
Well, I mean, look, how can you?
I like that we started that little segment with I did some math.
I did. I mean, I looked at the last 2 years for Kyler, and I looked at the last year for Hurts. I think if you factor in any quarterback's rookie season, it's always going to drag their numbers down too much because they're so much better than they were that year. And plus, he didn't have DeAndre Hopkins that year. And then there's the whole DeAndre Hopkins thing. I mean, if Hopkins were healthy in week one, would you guys have playing in week one, would you have Kyler ahead of Hurts?
They would be closer, yes.
If Hopkins was playing in week one, would Kyler have Hollywood Brown?
Yeah. Let's say yes.
Okay. Then you don't think they made that trade because of Hopkins being suspended?
I think it might have something, a little something to do with it. It would definitely be pretty different if they extend Hollywood, but he's a free agent after next year, right?
Yeah, I think so. This is his fourth season, so. No,
he probably is his fifth. But he's on his fifth season? Option.
Okay, then yeah. Right, and so, yeah, anyway, he is not losing Hopkins for the entire season. I just don't really see... The only thing that I see in Hurts' favor is he's going to rush for more yards.
Your math involved giving Kyler 4,500 yards and 29 touchdowns when he's never thrown for 4,000 yards.
It's per 17
more
games.
Than 26 touchdowns.
He was on pace last year. What was his pace? It was about 4,600 yards or something, and... I can look up the numbers that I used.
No, I think that he might have been on pace. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm giving him, like, his pace.
Jalen's played 19 or 20 football games. And I just think.
I was generous with his 4,000 yards for Jalen Hurts. And I was kind of conservative with the rushing yards for Kyler. But.
We saw Kyler's rushing come down last year, you know, so.
So I actually looked at that. It was basically the same in 2019 and 2021. It was in the 550-ish range. 2020, he was on pace for over 900 rushing yards, but he ran a lot more that year, and he had a career high in yards per carry. So I went conservative, and I went with his lower rushing totals. I sold Kyler short, I think, with my projections, and didn't really do that with Jalen Hurts, and I still think that Hurts has a lot of ground to make up in touchdowns, which he might now that he has AJ Brown.
Well, I mean, look, you're debating this with two people who are probably a little too excited about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, maybe, but
not going to reflect that.
I just wonder, you know, Kyler is seventh, and now he has, for the last 11 games of his season, the best receiving duo he's ever had. You know what I mean? Like, yes, he doesn't have Hopkins for six games, but for 11 games, he's got Hopkins and Brown.
Well, you're assuming that everybody's healthy, you know.
Well, we always are. I'm assuming Brown and Devontae Smith are healthy, you know.
Sure, which is fair, but you know, this is a quarterback we have to factor in that has struggled to stay healthy, and his playing style, the way that he plays. I know it's gonna you could say similar to Hurts, similar to Lamar Jackson.
It is similar to Hurts,
but. He gets injured. Those guys have avoided injury, you know, until Lamar last year.
All right. Well, I've made my case. I don't know. I don't even know who I like, but I think there's an easier case to make for Kyler.
Makes total sense. We have it ranked differently than the way people are going to draft it. No one is drafting Jalen Hurts over Kyler Murray. I would be shocked, majority, if that's going to be the case. And it may be by 5 or 6 ADP, by the position.
I'm going to do a Twitter poll and just see how people are feeling about it. All right, let's go to our big news, our other news items here. By the way, of course, we'll remind you to please vote for us on podcastawards.com. You're almost done with me pestering you about it. You can see the QR code up there if you're watching on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Go ahead and, you know, scan it. Please vote for us, best sports podcast, best male-hosted podcast, and People's Choice. And I always promote podcast stuff, Facebook group, those types of things. Jamie, what content do we have to look forward to on the website, cbssports.com/fantasy, coming up?
That's a great question. We have a meeting today to figure that out.
Oh, cool.
I mean, look, we've been rolling out a lot of our training camp previews, our team previews. I think Chris Towers has done the majority of those. I believe Heath is in the middle of his Sleepers, Breakouts, and Busts, right? Another version?
Breakouts came out today. They've been spread around the month, but all dynasty rankings, all positions, and top 150 just updated this week.
I just finished going through last night my third-year receivers. I'll finish that up today. It's fun looking at that group, man. I think when you get to – I'm curious. I'll see what you guys think. The 2014 class, obviously, of our recent generation is considered the best receiver class maybe of all time, but certainly the one that we measure it to. This group – if the guys hit, could be in that conversation.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree?
Oh, yeah. Give me the names. I'm going to forget some. So
Jefferson, Lamb, Pittman,
Higgins,
Mooney, Ayuk, Claypool, Judy, Gabriel Davis. And then, you know, the back end guys, KJ Osborne, Van Jefferson.
It's a lot of potential. I don't personally ever see, I just have a hard time ever projecting a receiving class to end up better than 2014.
I agree, but
yeah, this is there's a lot of potential.
So
there.
Who all was in the 2014?
Oh man.
2014 was Davante Adams, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, Brandon Cooks,
Watkins.
Sammy Jefferson could cancel out Adams pretty easily.
Was Jarvis Higgins Landry in that group?
Higgins Landry was in that
group. Landry was in that group too.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like
did you say Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson.
It is just amazing.
It's ridiculous. And they're still playing at a high level. Like you can see Evans and Adams are on a Hall of Fame track. And then you have a lot of Hall of Very Good.
Yeah.
With a few of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
This group, Jefferson is obviously on a Hall of Fame track through 2 years. You're still asking him to, you know, do it. But if Lamb and you know, Pittman and Higgins are I think Hall of Very Good kind of players. Judy can easily be in both categories if things start to work out for him, but probably maybe Hall of Very Good. But it's so deep.
Yeah, and I think potential for last year's wide receiver class, maybe this year's wide receiver class to also be deep. It's a loaded position at the college level, and I was actually just reading a scouting report on the top receivers for the 2023 NFL draft and was very surprised. Dane Brugler for The Athletic, used to work for CBS Sports, did not have Jackson Smith and Njigba, I believe is how you pronounce it, for Ohio State as his number one wide receiver. He had the LSU guy, whose name I'm also forgetting how to pronounce, as number one. It's interesting content, and looking forward to talking about that at a much later date. But that's coming up on CBSSports.com/fantasy, the year three wide receivers, the breakouts for Heath, and just so much great content. It's draft time right now, so we've got your back, and we will help you win your leagues.
And I should say, from a programming note on CBS Sports HQ, our show starts for eternity on August 1st. So Monday, August 1st, CBS Sports HQ, noon Eastern.
News and notes. Cleveland signed quarterback Josh Rosen to a one-year deal. The Patriots will not have an official offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. And it's not new on the defensive side, but it's new on the offensive side. Does that concern you guys at all? That we don't know who's going to be calling the plays and whatnot for New England?
I have concern that the offense will be worse than it was last year.
Okay. Kenyon Drake was cleared for training camp. So here's a list of noteworthy players who are starting training camp on the PUP list. The PUP list, talk about it a lot. If you don't know what it is the physically unable to perform list. And you can start camp on the PUP list and come off at any point. But if you start the season on the PUP list, you must miss at least 4 games. So here are the players, the noteworthy ones who have started the year, the training camp rather, on the PUP list. James White, Michael Thomas, 3 players on the Jets, tight end CJ Uzama, left tackle, maybe right tackle Mekhi Becton, and defensive end Carl Lawson, who missed all of last year after being a very big free agent acquisition last year, and Carl Lawson tore his Achilles.
Is it Mekhi or Mekhi?
I would probably just kind of combine them so nobody knows if I'm right or wrong. Mekhi? I don't know. Becton, though, the offensive tackle, he's on the PUP list. New Orleans defensive end Marcus Davenport, Atlanta linebacker Deion Jones, Patriots cornerback Jonathan Jones, and Patriots safety Jabril Peppers. Not huge deals right now. They're on the PUP list. They have plenty of time to come off.
Yeah, speaking of which, Heath, can you start waivers in our Dynasty League so I can make some moves? It's like guys on the PUP list.
Yeah, I do not want to do that quite yet. I'd like to wait a little bit longer, but I do feel really gross about Michael Thomas being on the PUP list.
But things have been so positive lately.
But it's been over a year since he had ankle surgery. How is he still physically unable to perform?
I'm sure it's procedural to an extent. But yeah, it's frustrating.
Got a great question here in the chat. Can you guys say some of your pet peeves? I bet Adam has some weird ones. I do. I was just thinking about this yesterday, and I can't remember, or a couple days ago. What was that? I was like, you know what really grinds my gears for all you fans, for your Family Guy fans, but I don't remember what it was, but I will think of it, Michael. You guys have any pet peeves you want to share?
Not off the top of my head, but that's a great question.
It is a great question.
This one's really unfair, and I judge myself for it, so I'll share it with you guys. I really, like when I'm watching a television show with someone and they're on their phone through the entire show. Oh, it drives me crazy.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah. I hate that.
Oh, I finished Stranger Things yesterday.
Oh, you did? What'd you think?
I liked it. Liked a lot.
It's amazing. I'll give you a pet peeve that I do, that I'm such a hypocrite about. If I'm going to watch a show, I don't like it when anybody tells me anything about the show, including how they felt about it. You know, oh, you didn't see that yet? Oh, it was great. Or, oh, it was really good until like the last episode. Like, don't say anything. Don't give me anything at all about it. That's a pet peeve. But people leaving the milk out, that's not a pet peeve. That's just wrong. That's a comment from Michael. Okay, Heath, that was a terrific pet peeve. Well done. And I would say anybody who says, I could care less, also, that's just wrong. Don't say that. You couldn't care less is the expression. We'll take a break. When we come back, your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Scott Fish, if you're watching and you want to join us, now's the time. You can tell us what you think about the morning afternoon debate, which is not even a debate because I won it. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Welcome back. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Leave us your Apple Podcast questions with a 5-star review.
Do you
review.
Ever have breakfast for dinner?
It's a change-up. I don't really do it, but everybody acknowledges.
Does
start Hold
at
on.
6 p.m.?
Hold on. When you have breakfast for dinner, Heath, you are acknowledging, hey, look at this. I'm doing something bold here. I'm having breakfast for dinner. When you have lunch at 11:30... you're just having lunch. It's not noteworthy.
I'm having a late lunch
all.
If I have lunch at 11:30.
Well,
what time are you having dinner tonight?
Probably about 4:30.
What?
And you're 70 years old.
You get a discount for that?
No. This one is actually not. It's Friday. It's happy hour, and happy hour starts at 4. So I'll probably go to happy hour and just have dinner at happy hour.
Okay.
Adam, do you remember the Piccadilly Cafe?
No.
Oh,
I don't.
Naples, South Florida.
Oh,
there he is.
Scott Fish is here. You can hop on anytime you want, man. How you doing? Oh no, can't hear you.
I'm doing good. Oh, sorry.
You're good.
Okay, hear me now.
Yeah, a little bit of a delay, I think. All right.
Yeah, my mic starts on mute, which is very annoying. So I've been off and on when I stream. I don't know why it does that. So I might blow your mind with this, the breakfast thing. I have a thing where, like, I did a lot of reading when I was younger, and I know that breakfast is the breaking of the overnight fast, So I feel like even if you eat it at 11 or 12, if it's your first meal of the day, it's still breakfast.
Okay.
And I know that Jamie and Heath are not going to like that.
It's that it, no. I mean, time is very important here. Also, the type of food. But the question, the debate from yesterday was.
I know the debate.
Yeah. What time is 11:30 morning or afternoon? And I contend it is definitely afternoon.
No, I'm with Heath and Jamie on this one. Noon is noon, and anything after it is afternoon.
Right.
Before it is before noon.
So what Scott's saying is that I'm not an old man eating lunch at 9:30 in the morning. I'm just eating lunch food for breakfast.
No, see, now if you pull the Dave used to eat two lunches a day. if you say you're having your second breakfast, that's fine. But you're eating lunch, you're eating lunch food at 9:30.
Yeah, I had a hamburger and some French fries before the show.
You're not having a second breakfast. I know Lord of the Rings lore, but you can only break the overnight fast once.
Okay, I mean, I get that.
Breakfast for dinner is delicious. I don't know where you're going with that, but breakfast for dinner.
I just mean, like, Scott, if it's 11:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Would you ever
11:30 in the morning?
Would you ever? Okay. Damn it. I have to edit that out. That was really bad. If it's 11:30, would you ever say good morning to someone? You would never say that. It's not morning anymore.
He's from Minnesota. He says good morning all hours of the day.
I say good morning at 3 in the afternoon. I'm just bad with time. I used to work overnight, so my clock might be messed up.
Well, then I thoroughly regret in sending you the link to this stream. Scott, I'm going to let you go because you don't have your typical audio set up. But thank you for weighing in and crushing my day, my morning.
Okay. Sorry,
you're the best, Scott.
All right, man. Take it easy. All right. That is
11:30 in the morning.
Damn it. That was really bad. Here's our first email. It comes from Theodore. He says, hey, Fran, Norm, Craig, and Joe. And then he says, Adam, better get this. He deserves no help here. Fran, yeah. Norm, Craig, and Joe. I do not know. Are those like old Giants players or something? Maybe. Anyway, man. I'm in a new Superflex league, and I'm not sure what's the best strategy. Should I aggressively pursue quarterback like round one and another in round two or three, or is it best to wait on that second quarterback? Which strategy do you guys find more successful in Superflex?
I think it comes down to how you know your league, because I know Heath once upon a time won, it was a two quarterback league, but by waiting on quarterbacks and you ended up with, I think, two pretty good ones. I know Stafford was one. I don't remember who else he took, but he knew that I think our league was going to be a little bit more patient with quarterbacks, at least the way I would approach it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Heath, but like in the fishbowl, I think you kind of know everybody's going quarterbacks early. At least the ones that people that have played it before. So you better get too quickly because it's going to dry up and dry up fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. Right, Adam?
I mean, that's a horrible image. But I think
I have saying.
No, there are. I'm trying to look up. So last year, the guy who won our two quarterback league, which really is the same as Superflex, took Kyler Murray in round one and Jalen Hurts in round three. Heath, you and I won the Superflex 10-team league with Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson in rounds one and two. But I can't really say that was the reason why we won. We won because of Jamar Chase basically at the end, but we didn't actually get what we paid for at quarterback late in the year anyway. I have not found a consistent strategy, but what about you, Heath? What would you tell somebody going in?
What I generally do is, and this is where I think tiers are always important, but they become more important, is like I will have a list of four or five quarterbacks that I'll take with my first round pick and a list of four or five that I'll take with my second round pick. And I just kind of approach it that way. And if I can get an elite quarterback in round one and a top 10 quarterback in round two, I'm going to take one in the first two rounds probably. But if I have a pick late in the first round and I miss those guys, I'm okay with trying to piece it together. And this is not a bad year to do that. The problem this year is that some of the really high-end QB2s that we like, the Fields, the Lance, maybe the Trevor Lawrence or the Tuas, like then you've got to really kind of draft a third quarterback a little higher than you might normally as well.
See, I think the bigger thing, honestly, is when you get your third quarterback, no matter what strategy you take. If you go too early, if you do the piece it together strategy, as Heath said, I think that third guy is almost as important to your strategy because, A, you're going to need somebody to replace, you know, for your bye weeks. But you just laid it out, Adam. Who was the guy you were using to replace? Now, you guys are in a 10-team league, but who are you using to replace Lamar Jackson for that stretch? If your call, was it Tyler Huntley? Was it, you know, a third guy that you, you know, kind of hit on?
I think it was a serviceable third guy.
Right. Kind of rotating.
I think Taylor Heinicke was one of our guys. At one point, we definitely so
you were playing the roulette game.
We had Davis Mills.
Okay,
so you know again, two guys that you picked up off waivers at some point because they didn't start the season as starters, or you drafted them late with the hope that maybe they got some playing time. You know, so do you guys all have three quarterbacks or more in your fishbowl league?
Sort of. I have Jimmy Garoppolo as my QB3.
I'm gonna say barely. I have Kenny Pickett as mine.
Okay, so you guys both took the approach of wait and see or not really prioritizing. Like I took Daniel Jones as my third guy after taking Herbert and Carr. Not that I made it a huge priority to get Daniel Jones, but when I started to see that the QB3s drying up, or in some cases, you know, some teams second QB, I was like, I want to have at least a third guy that I think will have some upside. And I think Daniel Jones for the billionth year in a row will have some upside. But you know, he was somebody that, you know, of the third, I don't want to say third tier, but you know, the third wave. You know, so past the guys you mentioned, Heath, of the Fields to you know, Lawrence group, you know, it's Jones, it's Tannehill, it's
I think Goff's a real sneaky one.
Goff, he's not Ryan, you know, those guys, you know, Daniel Jones was somebody that I was like, okay, he still has the chance that if I need him, I'll feel okay with it as long as, you know, a Garoppolo is not brought in, for example, to the Giants.
All right, so I want to do a little bit of history in our 2 QB league and see who the champions have drafted the last three seasons. So last year, R.J. White drafted Kyler in round one and Hurts in round three. In 2020, Ben Gretsch drafted Kyler in round one and Russell Wilson in round two. So that's two straight champions who invested heavily at quarterback. But in 2019, it was very different. You had George Maselli and Will Brinson. I actually don't know who won, but George Maselli and Will Brinson met in the championship. And George did take Mahomes in round one, but he waited until round seven to get Matt Ryan. Whereas Will took Carson Wentz in round six and Lamar Jackson in round eight, which obviously was an amazing pick. That was Lamar Jackson's MVP season. So I, like I said, I just haven't seen a consistent approach. Oh, this definitely wins you a super flex league. But boy, I can't imagine any of us are going to not have at least one top 10 quarterback, right? If we can help it, you know?
Well, two teams will in every league.
But no, and none of us. I mean,
I'm not ready to commit to that in the 2 QB league. It could very well happen. Like if we get into a situation where I've got the 10th or 11th pick and the first nine picks are quarterbacks and I can get Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp or Austin Eckler and Justin Jefferson, then I'll just wait it out for a while. And then you get to the end of round three. Like, what I remember, and this was back 2015, 2016, I think that 2 QB league I won was the first year I worked here. And then the next year I was in the finals with a similar strategy. But like, it's possible. It's just been harder lately because the really good quarterbacks have been so good.
Yeah. Right. This could be a year, say, all the time where you have Fields and Lawrence and Lance and Tua, and maybe they make the position deeper and you can wait a little bit more. But you'd be surprised, by the way, if the first nine picks were quarterbacks, right?
No, but probably the first six, or not the first six, but six of the first
six
nine.
All right. Hopefully that helps a little bit. And we actually have a format show coming up next week. We'll talk about salary cap leagues. We'll talk about Superflex.
Who's on that show? Do you know?
I mean, I know who I put in the email. I don't know who I'm going to put on the thumbnail.
Adam's had a rough week with the schedule.
I miss Ben so much. All right, this comes from Sergio.
I just went and looked when I saw the schedule for next week. I was like, Control F, Heath. Okay, I'm not on. I'm good. Well, he didn't mess it up.
So a little peek behind the curtain. So usually we use the draft, the live draft show, as content for the site as well. And so Adam sent the schedule, and I saw I wasn't on the live stream part of the schedule. So I said, oh, do I not... do I have to do the draft you know, our draft prep, our mock draft for just different. He goes, no, you're on the stream. I was like, okay.
Yeah, the Tuesday live stream, Jamie uses it for content. So that's why he's on every one. But of course, in the email, I didn't write his name. So Jamie, am I not on the show Tuesday? Oh, no, you're on the show. Did I just not put you in the email? I suck at that. I'm just not good at it. All right, this is
my favorite one was,
Sergio.
Hey, Adam, please just give me Monday off because I'm coming back from, you know, the 10-day trip. And there he was.
You think it's bad that I put you on Monday when you asked for Monday off? I put Dave on the entire week and he was off, okay? Give me a break. This is from Sergio. We're making a switch from a two-receiver league to a three-receiver league. How much does this change your strategy? It's a $200 salary cap league.
If there's a flex also, you know, I think you can certainly lean into going receiver heavy and be very good.
It is a flex, you know, also.
So yeah, I think you go, you know, don't stop, you know, lock yourself into, I need to get three receivers early, but don't shy away from that also.
Okay. All right. Next email is from Tommy. Greetings, Mr. Oh, by the way, Fran, Norm, Craig, and Joe are old Giants quarterbacks. I am pretty proud of myself for knowing that, best male host. This is from Tommy.
Googled it.
No, I said it. I said, are those old Giants? So I kind of got it.
Who is it? Was Tarkenton part of the deep play for the Giants?
Yes. Fran Tarkenton.
And then Norm Van Brocklin?
That's what I thought, but I think it was actually a different Norm.
Yeah, I think Norm Van Brocklin.
Norm Sneed.
Don't know who that is.
Craig Morton and Joe Pisarczyk. Or Pisarczyk. Yeah. I don't remember how to. And that was all before Phil Sims. And all before me. Those are.
No YA Tittle there, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, pick the. Do like YA, Phil, Daniel, and Eli, the four best quarterbacks in Giants history. Okay.
You need a Giants photo behind you that's like. Iconic.
You know what's funny about this photo? It has the prices of all of the Super Bowl. These are all their Super Bowl tickets. And you can see how much the price has gone up. So their first Super Bowl, which was 1987, January of 1987, $75. Last one was $1,200.
That's crazy. What's the most iconic Giants photo? Is it Wyatt Tittle with the blood on his head?
Yeah.
Or is it Beckham with the catch?
I would say it's either David Tyree or it's Wyatt Tittle.
It's Daniel Jones falling down at the 10 with nobody around him.
And it's the QB
sneak. You can make
sneak.
A case it's Parcells getting carried off the field.
No, I can't make that case. It's a terrible image. I would not like that.
Is it McConkey waving the towel?
I already told you the two. It's Tyree or it's Tittle. Okay.
Not Beckham's catch?
I don't think so. Here's a third email.
What about Eli Mopey face?
10 minutes later from Tommy. First year IDP in my long-running 14-team half PPR league. Five spots. Defensive tackle, defensive end, linebacker, cornerback, safety. When do I start drafting these guys?
How deep is the draft? So
14 teams. Is it
five rounds from like a 14-round draft?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, my feel always, and again, we've said this a lot, that the two IDP leagues that we play in yearly, one is just, we call our IDP league, the other is Heath's Dynasty League. The IDP league, I always wait till the middle of the draft to start looking at it, you know, and that's a 29-round draft.
Yeah, round six-ish. Is what I would say. I'm usually a little bit earlier on these guys than it seems like everybody else is. But then linebacker probably doesn't matter as much because if you're only starting one linebacker, there are 12 of them that are as 14 team league.
Yeah,
so,
14. Yeah,
like there's 8 to 10 exceptional high tackle linebackers at least. But yeah, I'd want to get some difference makers at the other positions.
I think the one thing though in this because it only need one. If you want to get one of the premier pass rushers and one of the better linebackers, you could go a little earlier.
By the way, Patrick in our chat says the Giants boat trip is.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes. Giants moment. That's good.
One other tip slash wisdom. When you're looking at the corners and the safeties, well, everybody, but especially the corners and the safeties, really prioritize tackles over fantasy points last year, because a guy scores a touchdown or has a couple fumble recoveries, and that can really like prioritize the high tackle guys.
And also, depending on how your scoring is, if you get points for pass defense, that's big for corners, because they're not going to have high tackle totals typically. So, you know, don't take Jalen Ramsey because teams don't throw at him.
Right.
You want guys that are going to be involved.
Ramsey, though, kind of played all over the field. He was a safety.
He's probably a bad example.
Yeah, but right, shut down corners. They don't get a lot of tackles. They don't get a lot of targets at them. So that's why I don't really like cornerbacks and IDP, because you really don't get reward. You get rewarded with the
interception guys. Our league rewards pass defense, and it changes a little bit.
All right, here's an email from Dinesh. He's got two conundrums in his draft. Well, I think they're hypothetical. I am picking in late round 5. I have two receivers and two running backs. Brandon Cooks is on the board. I also have Lamar Jackson and George Kittle available. What direction would you take from here? So he's got two running backs, two receivers. Do you draft Cooks, Lamar Jackson, or Kittle?
I'm taking Cooks.
I would too.
What if it's a two receiver league and a flex?
I'm probably still taking Cooks.
I might go Kittle in that spot.
Especially if it's PPR. Two receivers and non-PPR, then I might go Lamar.
All right, a second conundrum. I am the 8th pick. I am picking 8th, and I take Dalvin Cook in the first round. At 2.5, I have Lamb, Mark Andrews, and DeAndre Swift. I would ideally like one wide receiver in the first 2 rounds, but I can't pass up the value of Swift there or get a potential number 1 tight end. What would you do if you had Dalvin Cook and you had to choose between Lamb, Andrews, and Swift?
I would take Swift. Because you could be looking in round 3 and Michael Pittman could be there. T. Higgins could be there. I like that build a little bit better.
I really think this might depend on how you feel about Kyle Pitts. Like if you think Pitts is not that far from Andrews, then he might be there in the 3rd. Because that's a weird spot for getting Waller or Kittle unless you want to take him in round 4. It'd be hard to get him at the end of round 5. I would take Andrews. But if you don't see as big a gap between Andrews and Pitts as I do, then you could take Swift and wait.
All right, here's Jeremy Klein from a small town in Texas, Houston. With McDaniel coming to the Dolphins, do you feel that we will see a player have a similar role to what Deebo Samuel had last year? If so, who will it be?
I don't really, but my order of likelihood would be Chase Edmonds followed by Jalen Waddle followed by Tyreek Hill.
I mean, Tyreek did this as a rookie, right?
Yeah, but he is so contact averse the last couple of years. I don't know if he will run like Deebo did through the hole.
Well, he may not run the way he's supposed to go, but he may try to outrun people. I mean, I think if anybody's going to be in that role, it would be Tyreek.
Yeah, but more likely nobody's going to be in that role, right?
I mean, they don't have a physical receiver like that that's built that
right.
way.
Yeah, I don't even think Deebo's going to be in that role. You know, his carries are going to come way down, I would
it's
think.
Just so funny because, like, you know, I at the owners' meetings, I had this question. You know, several other people are asking these questions. Who would you use like Deebo Samuel? You know, and it was, you know, not necessarily that vague, but, like, you know, I asked Cliff Kingsbury, you know, would you want to use Rondell Moore similarly? Or even Kingsbury might have even brought it up on his own. He's like, you know, we can try and emulate some of the things that Deebo did with Rondell Moore.
Did you ask him what he thought of the name Placebo Samuel?
No.
I still don't get it. I still don't think it makes sense. I just don't think it works.
Somebody asked about Travis Etienne in that role. You know,
so yeah.
You know, it's going to be copycatted to a certain degree by certain teams. But there's a reason that dude is that dude.
All right, this is from Ross. Hey, Ragnarok, Love and Thunder, Dark World, and Thor.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Those are definitely not rankings. Long-time caller, first-time listener. I think that's flipped, but that's okay. I have Antonio Brown in a dynasty league. Should I wait to drop him? I feel like he's just eating away a roster spot at this point.
I mean, I think the rule is with anything throughout the course of a season or dynasty or whatever, if there's somebody available that you think is better, you drop him and you pick that guy up.
Yeah, as a general rule, I, for some reason, would still like to hold him. especially with the Ravens wide receiver room and his hanging out with Lamar all summer.
Okay, this is from Andrew, and he says, which three keepers should I select? Oh, wait, now it's only two. So we actually answered a keeper question for him in February, but things have changed quite a bit. He had Tyreek Hill and Javonte Williams. Now Hill's on the Dolphins, and Melvin Gordon's back on the Broncos. So pick two of these four to keep. I don't think there are any penalties. We get them for one extra season. Mixon, Tyreek Hill, Javonte Williams, Pittman. Pick two.
Is just this year?
One more season.
If it's one more season, I have a hard time throwing back Javonte.
I'd go Mixon and Javonte.
I would too. If it's just this season, I would go Mixon and Pittman.
This is from Max. I'm in a 10-team half PPR, three receiver league with a flex. I have the 9th pick. How are you all feeling about drafting at the turn this year? So this is a 9th pick in a 10-team league, three receivers. And I like DJ Moore, but I feel like I'm reaching for him, I think, in the 3rd or 4th round. So that would be 32nd overall in the 4th round. We don't consider that a reach. I'll just tell you that. Heath and Jamie aren't gonna hate that. But how do you feel about having the 9th pick in a 10-team league?
It's fantastic.
I don't hate it.
Every pick is good in a 10-team league, I feel like. I don't know.
I mean, you're getting, what, two picks in the top, two of the top 13 picks, right?
12.
12 picks?
Yeah, that's great.
It's still top 13.
It is. Okay, that will do it for our emails. Let's go to our Apple Podcast questions here. This is from... no name on this? Oh, Jay from Roanoke. 12-team keeper league, we can keep three. Keep as long as you want. Just move up around each year. It is peeper... it's PPR.
12-team peeper league.
I know about those leagues. PBR scoring.
That was enthusiasm.
Aaron Jones in the 7th. Jalen Hurts in the 8th. Cam Akers in the 16th. So many. Tony in the 13th. Schultz in the 15th. And Dylan in the 6th. So pick three of those, and they can move up around each year as long as you want. Aaron Jones in the 7th. Hurts in the 8th. Akers in the 16th. Tony in the 13th. Schultz in the 15th. Dylan in the 6th.
One QB?
Yeah.
Akers is an easy one.
I'm going Jones, Akers, and Hurts.
I'll go Jones, Akers, and Tony.
Okay, this is from McGregor37. He says, dear Alex, Pete, Georgie, and Dim. I think I know that. I think that is Clockwork Orange. Yeah, what a dreadful, dreadful movie. Oh, my gosh. Just awful. Like, screw you for making that.
Did we just go from peepers to Clockwork Orange?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you're making an eye joke? Mm. I don't. Heath is just too smart for me. Can you help me with a keeper question? Oh, Placebo Samuel. No, just kidding. 10-team half PPR. We can keep any one player two rounds earlier than we drafted them the year before. No limit to how many years we can keep a player besides them not being available after they're drafted in the 1st or 2nd round. I am torn between Antonio Gibson in the 12th and ETN in the 14th.
ETN, for me, easy.
Yeah, I understand why you're torn. I'd probably lean ETN as well.
This is from Thick Boy Sick Boy. 12-team PPR question. Do I keep Diggs in the 4th? I read it. Why not?
Did we get a new distribution area?
Okay. Do I keep... well, it's Thick with 2 C's, by the way. Okay, so that changes everything. Do I keep Diggs in the 4th, Josh Allen in the 7th?
That's what he said.
Waddle in the 7th or McLaurin in the 13th. All right. So again, it's Diggs in the 4th, Allen in the 7th, Waddle in the 7th, McLaurin in the 13th.
Keep one?
Yeah.
McLaurin.
Yeah.
From TD Hodges. Can you just do a podcast describing the different styles of fantasy football and discuss the pros and cons?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do that on Wednesday.
Next question.
Yeah. Just real quick, give me your favorite style.
Superflex.
Yes. And I will add Dynasty, Superflex, Best Ball with head-to-head matchups.
Okay. That's... No. Well, you don't take away the starter-sit element. How many start-sit questions do you get a week, Heath? If you keep promoting Best Ball, we're going to be out of jobs. Because
no,
all we do for 4 months is tell people who to start and sit.
There's plenty of other things to do.
It would make September through December a lot quieter. All right, this is from GGHHAMR, which is probably something perverted. I play in a half-point redraft league. We only have to start one running back with two wide receivers and two flexes. I think I should prioritize wide receiver from the 10 spot since I can roll up to 4 in a starting lineup. How should this lineup config influence my drafting strategy? Yeah, I agree. I mean, definitely more wide receiver heavy.
I still want to get two elite running backs in half PPR.
Right, exactly. You don't need to. If you're at the 10 spot and you can get an elite running back, Heath, like, you don't have to go wide receiver just because of this format here. It's still a good
time
to get that.
Wait, can I start three running backs?
No, two. Yes. You can.
Yeah, I might draft three running backs to start.
Why would you do that? How is that any different than a regular league where you start two
half
running backs
PPR,
and one flex?
I think, like, full PPR was designed to make wide receivers somewhat equal to running backs. Half PPR running backs are still king.
But it's still drafting three of them is not like that's very risky. This isn't best ball here. I know you can start three, but you can draft the third one later.
You did a whole show about how round 4 through 6 wide receivers are where it's at.
It doesn't mean I don't want a wide receiver in round 1 or 2. Those guys are the best.
So you'd be passing on potentially Jefferson or Chase to get Chubb?
Well,
maybe more like you're passing on Diggs or Adams to get Diggs to get Chubb.
I don't know. I would still take Jefferson at 10. I would not take Chase at 10.
All right, this is from Quadman.
Saquon?
Wait, I got to get the music out there. This is from Quadman. I'm in a 12-team half PPR Superflex league where we keep 5 every offseason. I was set on keeping Dak Prescott, Superflex, Austin Eckler, CeeDee Lamb, and A.J. Brown. Ooh, very nice. I was unsure about keeping Elijah Mitchell, and then I had the opportunity to trade him straight up for Jalen Waddle, and I took it, and he will now be my 5th keeper. Did I make the right move?
You keep them for just this year?
No, I don't think so.
If Mitchell keeps the job all year, I would rather have him than Waddle in a half PPR league.
I'd rather have Waddle.
Yeah, the trajectory, I mean, in 2 years, probably going to favor Waddle. Right?
Let's see. New quarterback. No. yeah, I mean, Mitchell could be great. Could be out of the league.
All right, I'm just telling our YouTubers now it's time to get your questions in. We'll be reading those shortly. Well, we're going to read them now. And this is from CDM083, or that's an O, 083. I have two separate questions. First, keeper decision. The league I play in allows for a player to be kept at their previous year draft cost and then go up one round in value every year. So I'm able to keep Swift in the 8th round this year. My other options are Kyle Pitts in the 5th, Bateman, Elijah Moore in the 10th. Who would you select there? Pitts in the 5th or Bateman or Elijah Moore in the 10th?
Bateman in the 10th.
I would go Bateman in the 10th.
My other question is dynasty related. I did a startup draft and we're now preparing for our 4-round rookie draft. I have the top pick and I've received a few offers. One was DK Metcalf for pick 101 and Michael Gallup. The other was Hollywood Brown for 101. Also, I had an offer for the 109 and my combination of Sanders, Jacobs, and Singletary. So would you trade pick 101 for any of these? So it's 101 and Gallup for DK Metcalf. Would you do that?
No.
No.
101 for Hollywood Brown.
No.
No.
101 for 109. 101 and Sanders. Oh, no, no, no. No, sorry. 101 for 109 and Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, or Devin Singletary.
No.
No.
Okay. Let's get some YouTube questions. Gabriel says, if it's before 11:30, good morning from Hialeah. Please ask Keith when he and Dave will do a live Q&A at Twin Peaks Davey.
It might be a little while.
Okay. 10-team half PPR from Manuel here with two keepers. I plan on keeping Eckler, but I'm torn between Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones.
I would go with Chubb.
I would go with Jones.
From A12345, what is your favorite spot to draft in a 2QB half PPR 10-team league and why? That's exactly what we have, Heath, our Superflex league.
Yeah, I hate it.
What?
I hate it.
Why?
I don't like 10-team leagues very much.
Such a... Get out of here.
It's even more... Unless you make a best ball. I would like to have the first pick.
Agreed.
Disagree. I would like to have two stud quarterbacks, and I think picking somewhere around eighth would be better for that.
Did you go quarterback, quarterback?
Yes, we went Lamar Jackson and...
No, I'm sorry, in the fishbowl.
No, I went Kelce, Hurts, Lance.
And who was available when you took Kelce?
Very mean of Travis Kelce, by the way, for hurting Trey Lance. Who was available? Tom Brady was available. I had the ninth pick, so I had the fourth pick in both round two and round three because of the reversal.
I mean, I had the third pick, and I went Herbert and Carr. Very happy about that.
With the third pick. Okay, but that is a tight end premium. Yeah, but that's not two elites. I mean, it could be. It could be.
But that's also 12-team league.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to argue with this about this anymore. Here's another. This is Dinesh who wrote that email about the conundrums. He's got another one. Round seven comes, and you have four running backs and three wide receivers. Are you panicking for a quarterback or a tight end? Can you push that decision to the ninth or the tenth and still be happy with your draft?
I think if you know your league and how they draft those positions, that would help. I'm always very happy to still get Cousins, Carr, Lance, Stafford. Those guys are typically available. I don't know, again, how much longer Lance will be there, but those guys are typically available. And then tight end, you know, this is still a range for Schultz, but you have Hockenson and Goddard in round seven. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not panicking, but if one of Hurts, Lamar, or Brady's fallen, I'm taking them. If one of Goddard or Schultz or Hockenson's there, I'm taking them.
It's really a great question because people, they do panic, and you shouldn't. Because at round seven, I talk a lot about the rounds 4 to 6 wide receivers. Once you get to round seven at wide receiver, you're starting to run out of players that could legitimately win you your league. I know Deebo Samuel did it last year. Jamar Chase did it in this range last year. That was unusual. So, I mean, you don't want to be getting your fourth wide receiver in round 10. There's a big difference between round 7 and round 10.
I don't know if I agree with you because I think we're going to see Hopkins in this range and can still be defined as a league winner.
In round 7. Yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is in round 10, you're unlikely to find a player like that. So,
well, at that position, maybe, but round 10 can be Madison, could be Ramondre Stevenson still, could be... A lot of running backs that could win your league.
Could be Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, right. Okay, but specific. I mean, it could be Drake London. Could maybe. I think he's more like round 8 or 9. No, about round 9, if I recall, is about 100th overall. Anyway, I'm just saying, historically, I was looking at the trends. You know, you're starting to run out of the league-winning wide receivers at this point, but not at quarterback, you know. So I'm just saying.
I think he said it best. You don't have to panic. But I think also when you start to get to round seven, and to your point, Adam, if you look at the talent pool and you're like, I don't love any of these guys, you can certainly pivot to a Hurts if he's there, or Russell Wilson, one of those guys. Or you can definitely, you know, take the Goddard, Hockenson, maybe Ertz tight end pairing in that spot too.
Jim Parsons is in a super flex league. He has the second pick. Would you take McCaffrey, Kupp, or Josh Allen?
Allen.
Let's see if I can find one more here. From M. Cooper, 305. Would you take Kelsey in late round two or Dalton Schultz in round six or seven?
I mean, if Kelsey's there in late round two, that's one of the biggest steals of the draft.
All right, let's change that to late round one, early round two. Would you take Kelsey in late round one, early round two, or Schultz in round six or seven? Kelsey.
Still Kelsey.
Kelsey. All right. Have you thought of any more pet peeves?
No.
Yeah, me either. I just feel so bad. I have a really fun one, and I'm blanking. It's probably something Heath does. I think when Heath makes up quotes and adds them to the thread of terrible Azer quotes.
What quotes did I make up?
I never said that I didn't like Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, you 100%. That was right during the Creed era.
I just don't remember saying, I don't know why I would have said that. I don't feel that way.
I think you were trying to defend not liking Creed.
Yeah, it's Creed. I don't dislike Creed. It's fine. It's an okay movie.
Oh, pet peeve is somebody telling me to work when I'm not supposed to.
When somebody's trying to make an argument about a player and they take out all of their bad games and only use their good games, the person they're comparing him to, they talk about all their bad games.
Can I ask you a personal question?
It drives me crazy.
I have a decision I have to make tomorrow. Heath, maybe you can help me since you and I are in the same club here. Going to a birthday party tomorrow for a four-year-old, and my son was invited. It's not just me showing up. So we're going to a birthday party for a four-year-old, but it's a pool party, and I don't really know anyone there. And I'm a little self-conscious about taking my shirt off, Heath, because, you know, you and I were in the hairy chess club. And I don't really know what to do about this.
I'm a big proponent of taking my shirt off in public. So I don't think you should have anything to be ashamed of at all.
I am ashamed. Rash guard would be a great idea. I feel like I need to go. Where do I buy one of those?
Dick's.
All right. I'm off to Dick's. We'll talk to y'all on Monday on Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.